Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
He's a good God. He's having a wonderful time. He's not sad. He's not afraid. He's not tired of us sinning. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you think God is tired of us sinning. Well, with an attitude. The attitude, you know. The attitude. You know, he doesn't have an attitude against you. Well, I just wish they'd straighten up. No, his love toward them. His love. He's always looking out down the driveway, looking for you to run back to the house because you saw a big car go by and maybe it splashed you from the gutter and you just, oh my goodness, and you want to run back to the house. So why did all that stuff happen? He just leaves it out there so you'll just all of a sudden figure out that, you know, it's better inside than it is outside. Amen? It's better in the house of God than outside the house of God. You need to know that. Praise the Lord. It's better to find it out, you know, before you get out there and get run over. Amen. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you excited today?
Amen.
You should be. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you.
Amen.
You know, Jack, I'm always afraid to stick this thing even in my pocket. It always seems to... afraid is a bad word, but I'm going to put it in here.
Get over it, brother.
Amen. See, it seems like every time I put it in my pocket, it goes off after about 5 minutes, you know. So, well, you wonder what the Holy Ghost is telling to tell you. Amen. Well, is everybody happy today? Having a good, wonderful day? I know that, we hear the reports of people being under the symptoms of these things. And the symptoms... I mean, the symptoms are real when they're happening, but in the Spirit, God's delivered you. I want you to know that the power of God is greater than the power of sickness. Amen. Well, how come we have all these hospitals and Christians are running them all? Well, that's for the people who hadn't quite got there in faith yet. You know, some people were getting healed, and then the other people... Basically, a hospital should have started out to be a place where you got built up in faith. Now you don't get built up in faith, you just go there to die. Amen. Hospitals were run by Christians because they came in and they filled you full of the Word of God. Because back when the hospital started, they didn't have any medicine, did they?
I didn't know that.
They started working on medicine. No, they just brought you there, you know, and put you in the bed, kind of made you comfortable. It was almost like hospice, but they filled you with the Word of God.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you that I read a book about it, but that's why Christians would have started a hospital. Amen. Christians would have started a hospital not to depend on science. Christians would have started a hospital so you can bring a believer in to have, because or win somebody to Jesus. Amen. That's what Christians started. Huh? Anybody know that?
Yeah.
You know, most hospitals were started by Christians, by believers, by nuns, you know, back in the day, you know. And so God would take care of that. And God would fill people with... there was the Word of God in the Catholic Church back then when they started a hospital. You know, when people lived in... you had to have Jesus. You had to have the Word of God. You know what? It's still true today. Well, we just got convinced that we didn't. We just got convinced that we got an education and got a good medical plan, we'd be in good shape. Amen. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? You get a good medical plan and a good job and a good education, everything would be wonderful. No, this world's full of junk. It's full of awful stuff. So we just want to, and today we want to put on the armor of God. Amen? That's not just random, of course. You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're trying to finish it up, you know, after all this time. Praise the Lord. We began to pray earlier. We've had some folks with symptoms that are attacking them. So, Father, we just rejoice and thank you that the symptoms are no match for the truth. The symptoms are no match for the truth. And, Father, we just lift up every person who is being attacked and under the lie and deception that sickness belongs to the people of God, it doesn't. Or under the deception that, well, you know, this happening, I just basically can't get out from under it. No, that's not true either. It's a big deception. It's very deceptive. Symptoms are very deceptive because they're so close. They are so right in your face. But Father, we reject symptoms of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you said none of the diseases of Egypt would come upon your people. We thank you, Lord God, that that you promised to take sickness out of the midst of us. And that by the stripes of Jesus, we are made whole. So we give you glory and we give you praise. Thank you for causing faith to come in the hearts and the lives of these folks who are under attack. And we just give you praise that they'll be delivered and raised up and declare the glory of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You have to say amen. I heard you. I heard you. I didn't hear anybody else. I just, amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Obey the pastor. Praise the Lord. Well, you're not the main guy. Well, that's okay. I'm a little guy. So, you know, if I'm preaching the word, I'm the main guy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter who's preaching. The way, if they're preaching the word the way it's written, then that's the main guy for you today. Praise the Lord. Just teaching you how to love. Now, I know y'all love me, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for it. No, it's just like you feel like you need to pray. Amen? You just need to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. You need to pray in other tongues. Boy, that's not an evangelical message, is it? You need to pray in other tongues.
Amen.
And if you don't know how, read the Bible and you'll get, and he'll give you the gift. Over in Luke, he said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Well, that was just Jesus and salvation. No, no, no. There's more to it than that. Over here, read over in the book of Acts, and it'll break your thought of that. Because first thing he did was baptize them in the Holy Ghost, and they began speaking other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. That's not the message, but I'm just telling you, that's just free. It's just extra bonus, just a bonus. Amen. And he said they all heard them speak in his own language. So really, not only was it a miracle of because God said they spoke in other tongues. There was a second miracle. What was it? The hearing. They all heard them speak. They, all the folks from all over the world, in all the different languages, the Phrygians were there, you know. And he said, from all over the world, they all heard them speak. Each man in, he made it very specific. Each man in his tongue wherein he was born. Even the local Tennessee dialect down in the hills, that's the language that boy understood that was coming out of Peter's mouth. Or one of them, somebody, Thomas. You know, he heard one, but they heard all of them were speaking. No, they're speaking Phrygian. No, they're speaking French. No, they're speaking German. No, they're speaking Turkish. And even the specific language, the specific dialect, the language in which we were born. You know, how you specifically said grandma. You know, different languages have different ways of saying very colloquial things. And that's how much God loved you. God loved you by speaking your language, speaking to you in a way that you could understand. And in the meantime, all these other people are speaking in other tongues that they don't even understand. So Peter's speaking in a tongue he doesn't understand, and yet all these other people from all the other countries are hearing the words that they're saying. So it's a miracle, miracle, miracle. It's so powerful.
Hallelujah.
Praying in other tongues. Gift is a gift of other tongues. And then there's praying in other tongues. There's a gift of tongues, which is for ministry, and then there's praying in other tongues. If any man prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. Well, we're not even getting onto this message today. His spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful. You tell me that that's not clear. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful.
That's for sure.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15 says, what is it then? What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Well, if you're not praying with the understanding, what are you praying with? I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll encourage you. I don't know how to pray in other tongues. Well, go home. God will help you. Say, Father, I want to pray in another tongue. I want to pray in another tongue. I want the, because you begin to let the Holy Spirit pray for you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says the Spirit prays, helps us in our infirmities. We don't know how to pray for as we ought, but He prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. I pray in tongues a lot, coming and going, coming here, coming there. Amen. You pray in other tongues. You can do that. The nice thing about it is nobody has to hear you. The nice thing is nobody has to hear you. You can do it in the car. You can do it in your prayer closet. It's kind of like you shut down your brain, because Scripture says that if I pray to understand, my understanding is unfruitful. My brain don't know what's going on. My brain doesn't understand it. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is moving on the inside of me. He's praying things that I don't even know how to pray. When I don't know how to pray as we ought, Romans 8:26. When I don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit helps us, intercedes for us, comes alongside, gets in the middle of my prayer. Hallelujah. We're on Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we'll get there. Hallelujah. I guess it's just today I want... We need to walk in this world we're living in. We need to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What are the lusts of the flesh? Is it just ugly, gross sins? No, sometimes it's just wasting time. It's just wasting stuff. That's so much of the time, lusts of the flesh are not hearing the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's just, you know, we're living in a world. You ever notice, yeah, especially those of us who are over 40, most of the room, things have changed. And if you're over 60, things have really changed. Things have really changed. Jack, things have changed. It's amazing how things have changed in the last 60 years. You know. And so, even the government, the United States, you know, just the entire, maybe I'm just old enough to appreciate what used to be here, but it's transformed. We're no longer encouraging people to worship God. I was listening to a school board meeting last night, the recording for a school board meeting. Basically, the idea that all the folks who were coming to talk and speaking up, of course, you know, this critical race theory thing is going, the racism, you know, teaching how you're different. You need to know that. That'll help you. That'll help you. Now, if you know how everybody's different, then it'll help you to Now, what it'll help you to do is distinguish the differences and why we ought to hate you. That's what it'll determine. What we do is bring people into the same classroom, treat them the same, and teach them the same. That's how you teach children. You teach children like they're all the same. You don't introduce strange ideas, because then they get home and they get confused because they have no idea. You know, what'd you learn in school today? I learned that these people hate these people. Well, that's a wonderful thing to teach them. You learn that. And therefore, now you begin to practice. You know, you learn things in places, and then kids begin to practice it. They begin to try it out and see how it works. I'd rather have them teach math and reading and writing, and they could practice that. I don't want them teaching a bunch of other stuff that, you know, is subjective. Amen. And so there's one thing, that's one other thing that's happening in this world, is that you are being, you as a Christian are being circumvented. With your word, the Word of God is being circumvented by another idea. I don't want that. And you guys, you school people, you work for me. But it's the same thing all over the entire thing. The news is instruction. the local news is instruction for you. You know, these people are bad and these people are good. Depends on which one you listen to, who's bad and who's good, right? But the Word of God makes everybody equal. The Word of God makes everybody equal. We stand by faith in the presence of God. Amen. Praise God. Don't want to get off into too much junk. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get off into things. But what I'm at, my point being that all of this stuff that's going on in the world, it makes it very distinct that there's a power that's working against us as believers in Christ Jesus. And you know what you do with it? You rejoice and are in the presence of God and you sing praise to Him and you declare the gospel. That's what you do. You don't get mad. You can get involved in politics, just don't get mad. Amen? I'll teach you how to get involved in politics. And don't get mad. First one is pray. That's how to get involved in politics first. Doesn't mean you don't do the other, but first you pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. You just had to jump off somewhere. You have to jump off somewhere and start. Otherwise, you keep going with other things. All right, now. Servants, employee, and I'll call it employees. Because today, we don't have, you know, we have employers that treat their people like servants. You know, instead of people that they've hired to do a job. Basically, an employee is a contracted person. Right? The only thing is that the power that an employer has, it's just like the power of a master back in the old day, because you got to have your job. You got to have your job, and therefore you have to toe the line. You have to do what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, you lose your job. You lose your pay. You lose your wherewithal. The whole world is designed for you to work for somebody. It's amazing. People used to work for themselves. They used to work and make it all themselves. 90%, seems like 90%. I mean, you may own your own business, but 90% of them, but you have people that work for you, whether it's a small business or a big business. Certainly in the last part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century, these major employers started to become the norm. The railroads, the car manufacturers, all things began to make these huge employment of people, and people became dependent upon them. They gave up the family farm, moved to town, and then they were working for this guy. What happened when they had an economic downturn? What happened if we're going to have to quit making cars today for about 2 weeks? Well, what are you going to do? You can't work. All of a sudden, you're tied to this guy. You know, there's nothing else, no other resource that you have. So basically, that whole idea, what I'm saying here, is that you have become a slave, a servant. You've become a servant. This, you know. So is it wrong to work for somebody? No, just don't trust in that somebody, all right? Don't trust in the somebody. Don't trust in Google. Don't trust in Ford. Don't trust in Microsoft. Don't trust in whatever big companies on the top of this building. You know, you got three buildings here. You got three different names on the tops of these buildings. So if you work for anyone who can afford to put their name on the building, you know, you're at their mercy when you're working. You don't want to be at anybody's mercy. You want to be at the mercy of God. So if you work for somebody, just change your mind. If you work for somebody, change your mind. Who do I work for? God's going to tell you. Servants, obey your masters, your employers in our case probably. But this could be true. I mean, there's people who operate in the old ways somewhere in this world. Masters and servants. Masters and slaves. It's a true economy. It's a true economy in some parts of the world. Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. So he's talking about in the world. Employment. With fear and trembling. In singleness of heart. As to Christ. Well, yeah, but he's not Christ. He or she is a ogre. A bad person. A mean person. She says, the scripture says, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, in other words, one face, one face, one without hypocrisy, in singleness of heart, one mind, one heart. Not loving them to their face. We'll talk about this later. As you would to Jesus, as you do to Jesus. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. So that's the hypocrisy. Just, you know, I'm doing it. You ever do work? You're just looking busy? Push the broom a little bit. When the guy comes by, you push it once. You know, you're looking busy. I remember doing that when I was a kid. You know, I didn't like this job. You know, somebody walked by you, you're doing a broom or something like that. Whatever you're supposed to be doing, you, when somebody looks your way, you just push it once. You know, look like you're working. You guys must have been better employees than me. But this is the command of God. The command of God is obey your masters as you would Jesus. Obey your employer as you would Jesus. Why is that? That's love. It's love to them, isn't it? Keep reading. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Woo! Doing the will of God. Well, what about what they told me to do? No, you do the will of God. Now, what's the will of God? In that case, if it's not sin, do your job. Do the job. Do what God commands you to do. Amen. I know Andrew does that. Andrew just, you know, he does it, and he does it with, by and large, with joy. Most of the time. And if it's a thing you don't enjoy doing or a thing you didn't want to do, you give praise to God. Amen. You give praise to God. Maybe you're a volunteer and you got a volunteer coordinator. Well, that person might be your master in that case. Don't complain about them just because you're not paid. Amen. Not that y'all would. This is a message that's going out on tape. I'm sure people will hear it. But always rejoice, even in the middle of, you know, crummy people. You know, people who are in charge. You know, love them. The whole job of the church, of you as a believer, is to love your neighbor. Your neighbor may be your boss. I correct that. Your neighbor is your boss. Amen? It may be that person. Maybe that person you're working with. So you just love them and bless them and do not curse them. Amen. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will. He just goes on and on about this. You know, it's not just like a quick verse, you know. Jesus wept. You know, it just keeps going. Do you notice this? With good will. Not only does he want you to do it not with eye service, but he wants you to do it with good will. My gosh. You know, how much can you expect? Good morning. How much could you expect, you know, to be... To obey your masters with fear and trembling, not with eye service as men, not just do, but as servants of Christ, with good will. Not only are you just doing it, because you go, oh, I've got to do it, but no, it's with good will, with a good attitude, a good heart. You're changing on the inside. You're transforming. You're a new creation. You're living the life of Christ every single day with love, peace, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is operating on the inside of you, isn't it? Isn't it? I said, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is operating on the inside of you. Kick up your heels. It's a good time to go to work. Hallelujah. Amen? It's good that you get paid, you know, sometimes, once every couple of weeks. God says, and he says all of this stuff not to make you mad. He says all of this stuff because it'll bless you. Anything God says is to bless you. Anything God commands you to do is for you to be a blessing to you. It'll improve your life. It'll improve your opportunities. Amen? Loving and not destroying somebody will improve your opportunity. Maybe it's the worst person on the team. Love them. Bless them. Encourage them. The other folks who are discouraging them, rebuke them. Love the guy who is, or the girl who is not up to the top. Bless the person. God put you in those places because you're a minister of reconciliation, aren't you? You're a minister of reconciliation. Everywhere you are, you're a minister. You're a power. You're a godly man or a godly woman caring for the populace. You're caring just like Jesus. You're Jesus. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're Jesus to somebody else, whoever you're meeting. They're not going to meet Jesus. Hi, I'm Jesus. They're not going to meet Jesus walking down the street. They're going to meet you. Amen. They're going to meet you. So, hallelujah. Be prepared. Well, I'm not the pastor. You are to them. You are to them. You're the pastor, the deacon, the everything. People may not know anything about church except what they see when you show up. Amen. Hallelujah. So with goodwill, doing service to the Lord and not to men. And not to men. In other words, quit pleasing men. Just do service to the Lord. Men will be taken care of. It doesn't mean read your Bible when you're supposed to be working. Knowing, he just keeps going here. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether bond or free. Whatever good thing you do, you will receive back of the Lord. The Lord will take care of you. He'll take care of you. Well, I don't want to do that. No. Whatever good thing you do, whatever good thing comes forth from you, again, the goodness is not you, it's Him. Amen? So that way you're not trying to do good things to please God. I just never want anybody to do something good to please God. God's already pleased. Say, God's already pleased with me because of faith. That's a long sentence. God's already pleased with me because of faith. That's it. Amen. That's it. So you're not doing good to please God or make Him happy with you or to get kudos from God. You're doing the good because He's in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 9. And you masters, so all men are equal, so now he gets off of the servants and gets on to the masters. And you masters, you employers, you bosses, do the same things to them, to your servants, forbearing, threatening, don't be threatening people all the time, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So there you have it. So everybody's equal. So love your master, love your servant. Take care of them, take care of them. Work together, walk together. Enjoy the presence of the Lord together. What if they're not a Christian? You just enjoy the presence of the Lord by yourself. Amen. You know, this comes off the top of fathers, don't provoke your children. You know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, you know, obey your husbands. It says, wives, obey your husbands. Well, there's an order in there. Wives, obey your husbands. Just that your husband's supposed to be treating you like Jesus. And so when he treats you, when he's treating you like Jesus, he's a gift of God. That when you obey God, what did he just say? You're blessed. If you obey your husband, you're blessed. Amen. What if he's not a man of God? Well, if whatever he said was not sinful, who are you obeying? God or you obeying God or you obeying the man? Well, God said just obey the man. Obey him. What does he say here? You know, that's an ugly message. You know, it sounds like you're being mean to women. No, you're just telling. You're just saying the husband doesn't get to say this. I do. You know, the pastor does. The pastor gets to say this because he speaks to one and speaks to the other. Amen. Janet would tell you the same thing. She's standing up here. You know, not because I told her to. It's because God told her to. Everybody's got to listen to God. Everybody's got to listen to the Word of God. And if God says something you don't like, go talk to Him and blame Him. Amen. I don't want to. Well, I'm going to make an exception on that one. I'm going to cross that one out of the Bible. You don't get to cross that one out of the Bible. There's a lot of things you don't want to do. A lot of things God tells men to do. And they don't want to do that. She's mean. Husbands, love your wife just like Jesus. I can't love my wife like Jesus. She's mean. We've been married for 50 years. She's still mean. You know, I mean, you know, men could make the same complaint. Amen. Isn't that right? Can't men, come on, ladies, can't men make the same complaint? Amen. Where's Janet when you need her? She should be saying amen or something. She would be. All right, here's the armor of God. Finally, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. So we're coming right off of these commands to love your wife, love your neighbor, love your boss, love your kids, love your, you know, treat each other with dignity and respect and love, so that you're a messenger of Jesus Christ. Finally. Oh, good, we're coming to the end. Finally. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Of course, over in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 67, it says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall become a flat place, plain. Shouting grace to it. So where do you get the power? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. How does that come? By His grace. His grace is His power and His mercy. His grace is His power and His mercy toward you. His grace is His power and His mercy toward you. And it's all for you. It's all for you. It's all for me. I am filled with His grace. His grace is for Logan. All the time, never not. Not when he fails, not when he does wrong, not when he messes up and sins awful. God's grace is always for you because you have received Him by faith. You have received the sacrifice of Jesus. What did you receive? The sacrifice of Jesus. And you received, through that, you received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He's enjoying. You know God loves living on the inside of you? No, He doesn't. I know He doesn't because I'm so crummy. You know, or everything's going wrong. No, the Holy Spirit loves living on the inside of Cynthia. He's got that place all fixed up, and He's fixing it up more. He loves it. He is so happy that she received Him by faith. Amen. Isn't that so good? And the enemy wants to come in and say, "Man, it ain't quite as good as they make it sound." No, it's better than they make it sound. You can't even say it in words. That's why you have to have tongues. You can't even say how good God is in words. Because it just wells up on the inside of you. The joy of God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Not by ability, not by everything that we got that we could manage to pull it off. And even all the gifts of God, it's not by you. It's by His Spirit. Whatever you have, it's only ignited. You know, you can have the whole car sitting there. If you have the whole car sitting there and don't have any gas in it, you're sunk. You're pushing. You're pushing the car. You got this great car. You got this great talent. You got this great ability. You can draw anything, make anything to look like anything. You know, but if you don't have any Cheerios, you're just laying in the bed. Can't even get up in the morning. Amen. You gotta have the living God. See, when God created man, God created Adam. What did He do? Did CPR. You know, if God had not breathed into man the breath of life, what would have happened? He just laid there. Might as well put him in the ground. I mean, it's no good. Unless God breathes life into you every single day, and He does because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, He's breathing life on the inside of you. And everything that you do is born of God. Now, except if it happened to be born of the flesh, and you know, well, you just write that one off. Father, thank You that You forgive me for that. Because if you'll get into His Word, you want to be in the presence of God. Exodus chapter 33, I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to put you in the cleft in this rock. Who's the rock? I'm going to put you in this rock right here, and I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Where do we find His goodness? Right here. Now, I can't tell you how anybody got this before 1492 or 1516 or, you know. Because, I mean, they didn't have these. They didn't have these. They had them handwritten. There was one or two in every town that was too big to carry, right? Is that the chained to the post in the church. So before the 1500s, people didn't have these. In fact, probably before the 1800s or the 1900s, they were printed, but they weren't out there in such circulation. I mean, I've got it on my pad. I've got it on my phone. I've got it, two or three or six of these. I've got the Word of God everywhere. Now, I don't know how they did it before. It was much more precious, much more valuable. But you had to have teachers. You had to have people teaching by the Holy Ghost. I mean, you ever thought about that? Think about that. This thing wasn't even available, by and large. It was very hard to get a hold of. Much less reading it, but just getting physically one, you know. You'd have to have a wagon to carry it in because it was so heavy. I mean, you ever seen one of those Gutenberg Bibles? They're about that thick. Can you imagine Pastor Jim carrying that into church? You know, dragging that pup? So much more handy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the verse 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able. What? That you may be able. What makes you able? Putting on the whole armor of God. That makes you able. That you may be able. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. The wiles. I love the King James, don't you? The schemes, the plans, the ways of the devil, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You remember Wile E. Coyote? You wonder why they called him Wile E. Coyote? Because he is wily. And there's a guy in political office here in the Dallas area, and his middle name is Wiley. I always think of Wile E. Coyote when I think of the guy. You know, I even moved the word Wile E. to in front of his name. Wile E. John Smith. Wile E. John Smith. He's at it again. And you got a lot of people who are Wile E. You got Christians who are Wile E. You got to watch out for them. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, plans, schemes, attacks, or deceptions. You know, a lot of times there's deception that you take as truth because you didn't look into it. There's deceptions that you take as truth because you didn't look into it. All of a sudden you had a little thing. You ever had that little thing in the back of your mind when you're hearing something preached or taught or that you needed to do that says, says, go check that out. Well, go check it out. Check it out in the Scriptures. Check it out in the Word of God. Don't check and see what somebody else said about it. Just check it out. What did the Holy Spirit say about it? Okay, and you can go talk to somebody who you trust in the Lord who has been reliable for you in the past, that their word has been accurate. You know, go talk to that person. You know, say, what about this? Say, well, it's like not quite that. Or, yeah, that's right. You just never heard it that way, but it might be right. It might be revealing your sin. I didn't like that. It revealed my sin. I don't stop that. No, God wants to reveal your sin so He can put something else there. You know, if sin is like taking up a spot on the checkerboard or on the chessboard. You know, you want to take something off of there so you can fill it up with something else. I'm not telling the rules of chess. I'm just saying it's got squares. It's got spaces. And so what you want to do is take something that's not valuable, not helpful, and replace it with something that is helpful. How many know you've got things like that that are still rolling around? Things that are not helpful, but God wants to replace it with something that's helpful. But you had a hard time letting go of the one that wasn't helpful, because it's a nice vase, and it's right there on that little table, and I hate to get rid of it because, you know, it looks pretty there, and you know, but I don't want to replace it with something that's just, you know, tawdry, you know, something that just doesn't look right, you know. But God says sometimes, no, get rid of that. That's an idol to you. Get rid of it. That's something you've been believing in. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Amen? Get rid of idols. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what I what they are, because you know what they are. So just get rid of idols. You know, just if God's been speaking to your heart about doing it, go ahead. You know, go ahead and get rid of it. You know, it won't hurt. You know, there's so many things in my house I need to get rid of. We're probably going to be moving out there by my son, by Jordan, and we hadn't moved. I've been in this house longer than I've been in this. Ooh. I've been in this house longer than I've been in the first house I was in. Well, that was a long time. I raised both my sons in the first house. We were there for 18 years. We've been here for 20 almost. In October, we've been here 20 years in Grapevine. 20 years. Boy, you collect a lot of stuff. Anybody know that? Do you collect a lot of stuff. The worst thing to clean out is a closet, because that's where you threw all your stuff. Hide your stuff. Close the door. Push the door shut. Mm-hmm. And don't open that closet, because it'll all jump out. Praise the Lord. That's why you get retired, so you can clean out all your stuff. Amen. Otherwise, you don't have time. All right, praise the Lord. So put on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, he's talking about the devil some more, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now listen to this, there's against is five times in this sentence. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember that girl who won the wrestling and the gold thing? I don't watch the Olympics. Well, we do, because Janet likes the gymnastics. So, but there's this girl from, where's she from? She's from Texas somewhere. This girl from Texas won the gold in Olympic wrestling. Girl. Not against a guy, it's girls wrestling. Did you know girls wrestle? I guess girls know that girls wrestle. Now they just put it on TV. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Like that. What he's talking about is those things that the wiles of the devil. So you think you're wrestling against the people that come in putting wiles on you. You know, maybe that servant, or maybe that boss, or maybe that employee. Maybe your employee is you're wrestling against somebody. You're not wrestling against that person. Most of the time, you're wrestling against you. Most of the time, you're wrestling against sin. For we wrestle not, now in some cases it can be an individual that is manifesting ugliness or disobedience or something that's kind of clogging up the works, you know, in various parts of life. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, here's who you're wrestling against, principalities, against powers, against, says it again, against rulers of darkness of this world. That's rulers of darkness of this world, the people of this world, like some of what we're wrestling with today, is you're fighting against people who don't believe the Word of God. They have another agenda. They have other wiles. And finally, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where is that? That's the demon hosts in the air. Remember Daniel talked about, you know, or Michael talked to, was talking to Daniel, said, I came to answer your prayer the moment you prayed, I was on my way. But the prince of Persia withstood me. Who's the prince of Persia? Is he a king or something? You're an angel. Why'd you wipe him out? No. He wasn't talking about the prince of Persia. He talked about the prince of Persia was spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. There's spiritual wickedness. We fight against that. How do you fight against that? In prayer. Fight against everything in prayer, to be honest with you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk, although we walk in the flesh, in our bodies, we do not war after the flesh." Even though we're physical body people, we don't war like other physical body people. We don't fight like they do. We fight in a new way because we are not flesh. We are first of all now in Christ, spirit. You don't respond in the flesh because you're not the flesh. You respond in the spirit because that's who you are. And that's whose you are. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4, again, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So our weapons, through God, are mighty. Like, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the word of God." Finally, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 5 here in 2 Corinthians 10. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here comes imaginations. This is fleshly thinking. Fleshly designed and ideas to fix your problems. But he says we don't war after the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, but they're mighty through God. And they involve casting down imaginations." So some strongholds are imaginings, thoughts in your mind that are tied to the old way of living. How to respond to fleshly attacks. We don't respond in fleshly manner. We don't attack in fleshly manner. Neither do we respond in a fleshly manner. You have to ask God how to do that. "Casting down imaginings, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself." Well, I can do this. I can manage this. I can handle it. It's okay. God, stand back. I've got it. It's okay. It's good. "Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." I can handle this. That's a high thing. Pride is a high thing, isn't it? Pride's a high thing. I can handle this. God, thank you very much. Jesus, I got it. You don't got it. "And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Because it says that you don't need God, the knowledge of God. "And bringing into captivity every," here it is, "thought to the obedience of Christ. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." So in this fight, you take unto you the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day." So here comes an attack, here comes a deception, here comes a wile of the devil. "That you may be able to," so put on the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to stand," withstand, "in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Sounds to me like you're going to stand. It's not a command to stand, "that you may be able to withstand, and having done all that the Holy Spirit told you to do," whether it's doing or withholding from doing, "done all." You ever been told by somebody, by some employer, some boss, "Well, don't do anything," and then you went off and did something? Well, the command was, "Do nothing." Well, maybe God said, "Do nothing." Amen. You ever had the Holy Spirit say, "Do nothing," and I just got to do something. I have to do something. And you did it. And then you got your foot ran over. Something. You know, you decided you were going to act, and it would have been much better had you not. All right? So you want to hear the Holy Spirit. "And having done all, to stand. You'll stand, having done all. Once you hear the Lord. And again, your obedience is not to make God happy. Your obedience is to actually be safe. Like obeying your parents. The obedience to your parents is, so you'll be safe. And now, granted, they're happy that you obeyed, but that's not it. That's not it. The purpose behind the command was to bless you. Amen. And having done all, to stand. Verse 14 starts this way. Stand therefore. How do you stand? Well, putting on this armor. Having your loins girt about with truth. In Isaiah 5, it says righteousness should be the girdle of his loins. Talking about the Messiah. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, your loins is where your strength is. It's where your strength is right here where your hips are. When a soldier would move, or when you're doing any work, you depend on your legs and hips to steady you and to make you a solid and steady and firm without falling down. That's what girding up the loins is girding up the loins with what? Truth, so that you may be able to stand and not be toppled over. You set yourself so you're able to stand. What they did, they had those long robes, and they would take the robes. They were hanging around their legs, and they would tuck them up into the girdle. It just even a worker, not just a soldier, but even a worker, would tuck that robe up into the girdle so that they could be able to stand and not get tripped up. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. How do you gird up the loins of your mind? This here? The Word of God. Read the Word of God. Don't read it to get something. Don't read it to get knowledge. Don't read it. Read it like eating. You eat to get strength. You don't have to know everything about that, what thing you're eating. You don't have to know the genetic formula for corn. Or you don't have to know everything about, you know, everything you want it to be safe, so you get it out of the Word. But what you want to take is you gird up the loins of your mind with the Word of God. You want to read the Word of God. You want to let the Word of God dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. You want to let the Word of God dwell in you richly, the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to let that Word dwell in you. Dwell in you, dwell in you, dwell in you. So how do you get it in there? You put it in. It changes your mind. You know, it's like you tell kids, well, don't watch that junk on TV. It'll corrupt your mind. So you turn the TV off when the little kid's watching junk. Well, depends on what you're putting in your mind. What are you putting in there? What are you putting in your brain? What are you putting in your thought process? You put the Word of God. Now, I didn't need that one scripture about whatever it was, you know. I didn't need that one scripture back there. Yes, you did. Why? Because it's changing you all. It's mission. It's coming in together. It's all coming together to change you into a person who trusts the Spirit instead of trusting the flesh. That's what the Word of God does. You trust it. You put your hope in the Word of God. Well, what'd you learn today? I really don't know. But I put the Word of God on the inside of me. Gird up the loins of your mind. First Peter 1:13, for wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now it's talking about the grace that's going to be brought to you, you know, in the last day. But you look at this, it says, the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And not only will he be revealed in the last day, he's going to be revealed to you today in the Scripture. Isaiah 59:16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, Isaiah 59:17, Isaiah. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. So Jesus did this, talking about the Messiah. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation. What? What? He put a helmet of salvation. God put a helmet of salvation on Jesus' head. He's talking about the Messiah. And he put on the garments of vengeance and clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So are you. You're clad with zeal, joy, excitement, confidence. The knowledge that God has already won the battle. The zeal of God. Woohoo! And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's Ephesians 6:15, referencing Isaiah 52. He says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news, that publishes peace and brings good tidings of good things, of good that publish salvation, that say unto Zion, God reigns. You're a good newser. You're an evangelist. You're a good newser. You're filled with good news. Everywhere you go, you're filled with good news. People like seeing you because you got good news. You're not always depressed. You're not always down on the president or down on the school board, even though you're working against their lies and such. You're not down on them in a personal or individual manner. Your desire is to see every man saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Everybody. You want everybody to get saved. Hallelujah. You're not angry at anybody. You want them to get saved. You're angry at the wiles of the devil because you don't war against flesh and blood. You know the difference, don't you? You know the difference, don't you? Between warring between people and warring between the devil. You know the difference. That way you're not an ugly person. You're a joyful person. I got too many Christians coming to school board meetings who are just angry people. You know, you can be firm without being ugly. Certainly not with foul language in the name of your kids. You're in there just cursing the school board members in a meeting, you know, in the name of the Lord. Ephesians 6:16, above all. So wherever you go, you bring peace. You're walking into the room, you're prepared with the gospel of peace on your shoes, on your feet. Your feet bring good news. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And take unto you the helmet of salvation. Verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us of who are of the day, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope. The helmet of salvation is your hope. Protect your head. Because you have hope. You have hope. I have hope. I have fervent expectation that what God said He's going to perform. Amen? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. Divides between your soul and your spirit. You have a soul and a spirit. The Word of God divides. That's what you need it on the inside of you. So it'll divide between your soul and your spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bring the communion in just a few minutes. I'm going to have to bail out of here quickly because I have to go to Fort Worth. So, fair warning. Well, so when I walk out, we're not done. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Alex, why don't you get your guitar out and play another song at the end. Okay? Go ahead and get prepared because this is going to happen fast when it happens. Verse 18 in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. in the Spirit. Remember what we talked about praying in the Spirit? Praying how often? Always. Praying always. Okay, yeah. All right, everybody look up here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. Be full of care. Full of care. Anybody full of care? Oh, I'm just so afraid. Full of care about nothing. Full of care about nothing. Here comes a care. Stand over there. Here comes a care. Here comes something that I am going to begin to stress over. And just stand over there. No. I don't. Stress doesn't live here. Because I'm hearing the voice of God. Stress doesn't come here. But in everything. Everything. Make it two words. Everything. With prayer and supplication, asking, with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for doing it. Always end your prayer with thank you. Not just amen, but thank you. Amen. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, God, please. No. Fervent expectation. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all, to stand. And then you're putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6:19. And the end is a lot of greetings, and we won't go there. You can read the end of the chapter. And Paul says, and pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, we just love you. Thank you. I want you to read Exodus 33 as well. And remember the Word of God. Amen? Remember to read the words. Everybody say, read the Word. I know y'all are all good Christians and y'all read the Word. But it's good to remind you, always remember to read the Word. Father, we thank you right now for this Word of God. Thank you for the peace of God which passes all understanding, ministering your presence. That the armor of God is upon us. And we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.